Hey.
Oh, hey.
How you feeling?
I feel good.
Oh, don't.
But this is my first special.
Yeah, but the jokes aren't. I mean, you're special. Thank you. It's not how I meant that.
Okay, why are you being so mean?
Mean? I'm being honest. You piece of shit. You don't appreciate honesty?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're the worst.
Says who? Who says that?
Like, me and a bunch of other people. Here, let me pull it up.
Do we have to do this now?
Well, I'll see you tomorrow, and later today, and in a few minutes.
Okay, you are, like, exhausting. Hey, man, you brought me into this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Lynch!
All right, this should go fine. Thank you for being here. It has always been a dream of mine to film a special in a venue that's attached to an IHOP. So thank you guys. Yeah. Yes. We finally found one. I know. I'm like a Make-A-Wish kid up here. Thank you guys. Thank you. Don't know how you're doing in your careers, but smells like undercooked sausage links right now. So thanks for being here, guys. Thank you for risking your lives. couple of decorated heroes in here tonight. Seriously, give yourselves a hand for surviving last year. Well done. We did it. We did it. This year, we don't know. We'll see how you do. So far, it's looking like you're pretty irresponsible. Like, I am glad you're here, but I cannot condone this behavior. This is... I mean, technically, you know, last year, none of us were supposed to make it. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the asteroid. That was supposed to happen. There was an asteroid, and it was supposed to hit us last year, and it didn't. The one year we needed it. I kept waiting. I was like, any time now, please, please. But I think it's because the world was ending that's what saved us. I think the asteroid got close and was like, oh, they're good. I'm gonna kill myself over this. That would be a waste. It would be a waste. They're on their way out. That's why suicide bombers don't hit hospitals. Okay, all right. It's not the best example, but you're right. But the logic is there. You can't name a time. It's never happened. What I'm trying to say is thank you, healthcare workers. Took me a while to get there, but that's what I was saying. Sorry. I love that every time there's an asteroid, they always tell us the size, and it's always, it's always the size of Texas. Why is that? They're always like, there's an asteroid headed for Earth, and it's the size of Texas. There's an asteroid, it's the size of Texas. We're like, we don't care that it's the size of Texas. Just so long as it hits Texas. I hope that's all it hits, honestly. I hope it's just like the little puzzle piece just rotates as it gets close. Little Texas Tetris. Everything's bigger in Texas. except the asteroid. That is the exact size. Texas. Don't worry. When I perform in Texas, I say Oklahoma. I don't want you to think you're exempt. I do it for you. I stutter. I've stuttered my entire adult life because when I was 20, I got hit in the throat with a softball, and I'd fallen and hit my head, from which I had a concussion that I went to sleep on. And the next day I woke up, I was stuttering. And if you think that story makes me look like a pussy, then you would be my dad. So yeah. You gotta have sex with my mom if you feel that way. I don't care. She's your problem. People ask me all the time if that's the real story. All the time. They're like, Drew, is that really what happened to you? And no, obviously that story is ridiculous. The real story is I was bitten by a radioactive softball. And now I'm a lesbian, so yeah, it's a tough gig. It's tough. I gotta protect the aisles of Home Depot at night. Just kicking bad guys with my Timberlands. Things get out of hand. I grab the hedge trimmers and I say something clever like, you've been scissored. And then and then I leave on my Harley. off to blog. I go to speech therapy. And regular therapy, because I want my problems to sound good. They're so different, though. Oh, man, so different, those two therapies. Like, in speech therapy, they only care about the way you say things, not the things you say. And they'll make you say some pretty ridiculous things. They give you like little alliteration anecdotes on note cards, things that you don't say in real life. For example, it'll be like, my mother milks my mushy marbles. And then you say it, and they're like, that sounded good. Did it? But they don't care, man. In speech therapy, it's celebrated. They're like, Drew, that was amazing. That's amazing. Anytime you get stuck, you remember that exercise. So a few days later, as I was going about my day, I was having a tough time saying a thing, but remembering my exercise. I was like, my mother milks my mushy marbles. But I was in regular therapy. Didn't quite get the same reaction. My therapist was like, what was that? I was like, sorry, man. That just helps me out. Sorry, your mother milking your marbles helps you out. I was like, oh, no. No. My mushy marbles. You know, Daddy does downward dog dressed in drag. He's like, is that another one of your exercises? I was like, no. We're back to talking, so. I know it's an unpopular thing to say, but last year was actually a good year for me. Because when I was home in quarantine, every day I was working on the fluency of my speech. I was home by myself working on my mushy marbles. And, you know, I didn't have any anxiety because I didn't have to see people, and you guys are the problem. And I actually think I was able to make a lot of progress. And that's a difficult thing to admit. Because people want you to succeed, but only if it's on their terms. You know, like, I was always made to feel very insecure about my stutter. People made me feel insecure about my stutter. And then I started doing stand-up. I started going to speech therapy. I had some success with both. And now people will point out when I don't stutter, so I get insecure about that. So I don't really know when to do it. You guys just pick a fucking time, and I will. And you see, I love this job. I love that this is my job, but it is frustrating. Because if you meet somebody out on the street who has a speech impediment, and they make a joke about it, you're like, oh, that's very self-aware. But the difference with mine is sometimes people will think it's a gimmick or it's an act. And I think that's because I make jokes about it on a stage. It's just because location is everything, baby. Right? Like if you see someone in a wheelchair at the bank, you're like, oh, that person's disabled. But you see someone in a wheelchair at Disneyland, you're like, that bitch is cutting. I was bullied when I was a kid because I was a fat kid and I studied theater and that's all you need. My bully, his name was Andrew, and every day Andrew saw me out in the neighborhood, he would call me a fat fag. He would go, "You're such a fat fag." Okay, I added that. I studied theater, so I tried. Shut up. But the fat fag thing, he said that to me every day. It was almost a visceral reaction. He'd be like, "Get out of here, you fat fag. You're such a fat fag." And one day, Andrew's older brother took his own mattress into the woods so he could film himself white water rafting on it as an audition to get on the show Man vs. Wild. And this is true. His brother actually died doing that. Yes, it's very sad. For you guys hearing it. Because I remember that day. I remember it very, very, very vividly. Because the next day, I saw my bully, Andrew, out in the neighborhood, and there was a power shift. He looked in my eyes and he knew that I knew. I had heard the news. So I said to him, I said to myself, do I now use this as an opportunity to take advantage of my bully when he was at his most vulnerable, the same way that he had done to me every single day? But instead, I just opted to take the high road. And I said to Andrew just what it was that I said to him every day. And I was like, hey, man, hey, I'll suck your dick for a Snickers. We're in the 2020s now, and last year really had me thinking about where we are now versus where we were, say, 100 years ago. 100 years ago, it was the 1920s. It was the Prohibition, and it was illegal to have alcohol in your bar. And to think, in 100 years, shit's gotten worse. A 100 years ago, if you had alcohol in your bar, the cops, they would kick down the front door. Someone would yell, ha, it's the fuzz! Scatter! Which is the best last call of all time. Imagine you're holding your martini and so someone comes in and yells, scatter? I was like, oh shit, the fuzz. That's probably how the shot was invented. That's why I get irritated anytime I hear some college chick at a bar who's like, you guys want to do shots? It's like, Cassidy, you don't know the history. They used to do it to warm up their core, because they had to run. From the fuzz. Now, 100 years later, 2020s, you can't even have people in your bar. Can you imagine if the cops time traveled from 1920s? They kick open some door, some bar downtown. They'd have to say it themselves. We're the fuzz. And maybe three of you would look up from your phone. That's a sad day to have to report back to the chief of police. Chief! We busted the place on 6th. Yeah? Did they scatter? Well, they was already pretty scattered. It was like 6 feet. It was weirdly specific. Well, what were they doing?
Well,
they was all wearing masks, but they wasn't stealing nothing.
Were they drinking alcohol?
It's tough to say, Chief. It was seltzer in a can. Must have been a clinic for upset tummies. Well, then what happened? Well, then they got in separate getaway cars that they ordered from their hand radios. Separate getaway cars? Yeah, the cars were all different, but the drivers were all Persian. That is suspicious, Detective. You want to talk about suspicious, Chief? And then we saw a black fella standing outside the bar who was doing absolutely nothing illegal whatsoever. Ah, thank God. You arrested someone. Guys, it's a joke. Obviously they shot him. It's the cops. What do you think happened? It's the cops. No, just that guy. Thank you. Just one guy for the injustices of police brutality. That'll help. 100 years ago, the method of transportation was those buggies. They were the long cars. They had the big steering wheels. They sounded like this. That was how people got around. I was thinking about who was the first dude to ever get road rage in one of those? Imagine, you're just the dude in front, just puttering along, enjoying the miracle of transit. Just dup 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 dup. Some guy comes up, dup 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 dup. The left side of the darts for passing, bud! Fuck! I better let him know that I'm serious. Auga! Oh yeah, he knows. The dude in front's just like, Jesus Christ, dude! I'm going 6. Think about the commitment that you have to your road rage to maintain eye contact as you pass a dude in a buggy. Now, 100 years later, now when you get road rage, you pass a Tesla on the freeway, and the car is driving itself. I'm like, I don't even know who to be mad at. What, am I gonna flip off a dude who has both his hands free? I'm like, fuck you. He's like, fuck you. I don't have to be driving right now. I think I should just go ahead and state this for the record. There's no such thing as a woman who's crazy. It's just someone hasn't found it hot yet. There's only unmatched potential. Crazy. It's subjective. I overheard a guy the other day who was like, yeah, and then she slashed my tires and stole my phone. That bitch is crazy. It's like, maybe to you. That could be a kink for some other dude. Some other guy hears that? Oh, she slashed your tires and stole your phone, huh? So you couldn't leave or call for help? Crazy. It's subjective. It really depends who you ask. Some women, they'll actually get an operation done to cut off their own penises. Is it crazy? That depends who you ask. You ask Caitlyn Jenner, she's like, I'm beautiful. You ask her penis, he's like, that bitch is crazy. You ask me, I'm like, hey, she is living her truth. You ask my penis, he's like, I can't leave or call for help. My nephew is 8, and I don't know if he knows it yet, but I definitely think he's trans. Because he gets offended at everything. He says, I'm offended. He's 8. What other logical explanation is there other than the fact that a 30-year-old white woman is trapped in this boy's body? I'm offended. Go kick rocks outside, please. Why are you on Yelp? Get the fuck off my laptop. And that would be okay if he was trans. That would be okay. I think people should be allowed to change their gender without being discriminated against. I also think people should be allowed to react. I get to have a reaction. Nothing hateful, just whoa. That's it. You can't make me suppress that shit. I can't do it. Like, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy that your truth is that you're a woman, but my truth is, holy shit. My buddy Chad is Candace now. It's like, it's just a human reaction to be surprised just for a second. But it's like people think if you're surprised, it means you disapprove. It's like, I don't disapprove, I'm just surprised. What, do you want me to pretend like I'm not surprised? Now I'm living a lie. Like, I had a birthday last year, and all my friends, they jumped out, and they were like, surprise! And I, like a psychopath, wasn't like, I love and accept what is happening right now. I was surprised. It's like, if you know something as one way, and for its entirety of you knowing it, it has always been that way, and then drastically, it is no longer that way. That's the definition of a fucking surprise. Like, Like, I had a girlfriend in middle school whose name was Maria, who now goes by Mario. Okay? So I have to accept the fact that while I am a straight man, I have also dated a dude. Which, again, is totally fine. But when I say it out loud, my Mario goes, ow, 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 ow. He'll be back. He's just as surprised. And you know, that was a long time ago. Long time ago I dated that guy. But you know what? The longer the wait, the bigger the surprise. Quarterback Tom Brady, he was with the Patriots for 20 seasons. And then last year, he was like, I'm a Buccaneer. You don't think people in Boston weren't surprised? Oh, they were surprised. And you know what? We all had some follow-up questions. We were all like, does Tom seem happier on this team? Now that he's a Buccaneer, will he make less money? Are his balls deflated? These are the important questions. All right. All right, some people look a little offended by the trans jokes. Here's some more. I don't know if I'll ever transition. I don't know. I like to keep my options open. But if I do, I got my name picked out. I already got my name. This will be my name if I ever transition. My name will be Rue, because it's like Drew, but without the D. And in the interest of pronouns, here's mine. I identify as a laugh, because I am a man who stutters. He, him. All right, some people still upset about the trans jokes. let's move on to politics. I wanted Joe Biden to win. I did. Here's why. He is a person who stutters. That's it. That's all I needed. I don't need anything else. He is paving the way for me, baby. 2048, keep your eyes peeled for me, baby. When I become of age and height, I will run for president. But people tell me all the time. They're like, Drew, he doesn't stutter. Joe Biden doesn't stutter. He has dementia. He's unfit because he has dementia. Okay. Then he's winning. Do you realize how many people have dementia think they're the president? Yeah. this dude doesn't even know he is. So yeah, I'm very inspired by the fact that someone who has a speech impediment like mine is in the White House. I'm very inspired. Half of me. The other half is a little terrified. That dude has the missile launch codes. You really trust someone who stutters to read out numbers? I can tell you from personal experience, it does not go good. I one time had somebody ask me which floor in an elevator, and I stuttered so hard, you would have thought I was given a phone number to a billboard attorney, bro. It's... I can't even imagine. Just the general in the military. All right, Mr. President, we have declared war on North Korea. Go ahead and give us those missile launch codes. First code is 8142444. Shit. That was for Texas. All right, don't worry, that doesn't matter. That one was for Texas, it doesn't matter. Mr. President, how many fours did you want for that last one? Bitch. Did I stutter? And... Yeah, yes. A little, yeah, yes. Really? Shit. My mother milks my mushy marbles. Now, this is what I've observed about the two political parties and how they interact with one another, okay? This is just my observation, by the way. I could be wrong. I'm not. But this is what I've observed, all right? If you were somebody who voted for Biden and you let a Trump supporter know, for the most part, okay? For the most part... The Trump supporter can be respectful of your opinion. They're not going to hate you because of your opinion. They might hate you because of your race or sexuality. or religion. But not your opinion. Which, by the way, that's vastly different than if it was the inverse. Because if you were somebody who voted for Trump and you let a Biden supporter know, they will just stop talking to you. They will cancel you to your face in the middle of the conversation. Goodbye. And I don't know if that's the answer. And what I've observed, politics has put a lot of strain on people's friendships and relationships. Families are all at odds, all because of politics. I've been very fortunate in that my family has handled it maturely. Like my sister, she is a gay woman who is dating a black woman who is also gay, I think. She doesn't wear Timberlands, so it's tough to say. No, she does. She does. She does. You're right. She does. My sister said to my mom, she goes, "Hey, I'm voting for Biden." And my mom goes, "Okay, I'm voting for Trump." And my sister goes, "Okay." And they were able to be very mature about it. I think. I don't know. I don't talk to my mom anymore because of her dumb fucking politics. But I'm joking. I don't talk to my sister either. I don't respect women voting. It's ridiculous. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I voted for Kanye, so fuck all of you guys. I didn't mean to talk about politics. Sorry. Let's bring the mood up. That's my fault. Let's bring the mood up, guys. Let's bring the mood up, guys. Let's talk. Let's talk about mass shootings. I am tired of it. I will be the guy who says something about it. I'm not gonna do anything, but I will talk right now. And I know you're looking at me like, this is a white guy talking about mass shootings, which is a lot like a frat talking about date rape. Like, we're kind of the problem, but. I'm tired of it. Every time there's another shooting, if there's another school shooting, all the arguments, they come rushing back to the table. I've heard it all. One side is like, "Oh, we got to do something about mental illness. We have to get rid of mental illness." And then the other side is like, "No, we need to ban guns. We have to get rid of the guns." Listen, I don't think that you can get rid of mental illness, and I don't think the answer is to ban guns. We need to ban schools. You can't shoot up a place if it doesn't exist. We've been going after the wrong noun. And you're like, "Drew, that seems insane." Well, does it? Because no one was in school last year and fucking none happened. And I know, you're like, "But Drew, mass shootings happen in places that are not schools." Okay, ban those places too. I'm an introvert. I don't give a shit. From now on, you want to go somewhere, pick a background on Zoom. I'm done. Tired of it. And you know what? I'm tired. Every time there's a shooting, it's a white guy. You know it's a white guy. Every single time. I'm sick of it. Yet another career being dominated by white men. I'm done. Let's get some diversity up in this bitch, please. Who is casting this shit? You know it's a white guy. Yeah, they don't release the image, but they release the name. And it's always like Connor McBryce Tylerson. You're like, I wonder if he's Lebanese. No, that dude owns a trampoline. I know that fucking kid. If it's gonna be a white guy, from now on, he has to at least be gay. There's a little bit of diversity, and I think it would go a lot different. He would just have a flare gun. Just, I'm here. Yeah, bitch. Yeah. Look out, look how bright my bullets are. Twink, twink, you little star, or whatever. Or let's get a female school shooter. Ladies, you need to step it up. It is your time, right now. I think you could do it. You wouldn't even need to hurt anyone. You just go buy a gun, you show up to campus and sit everybody down and tell them how they've wronged you over the years. And by the end of it, everybody's just like, will you shoot me in the fucking head, please? Will you just shoot me in the head? I took your nuggets 4 years ago. How do you remember that? If a woman did it, it would be perfect. She would plan it perfectly. You know, no one could leave because she slashed everyone's tires and stole their phones. It's so hot. I have a way that we can slow down mass shootings and the pandemic at the exact same time. This is my idea. All right. Every single person that has homicidal tendencies, we hire them to work at the front of restaurants checking people's temperatures. They gotta get their fix somehow. Welcome to Applebee's. You're good. Get in there. I'm sick. I love that every time you walk up to a restaurant, there's the same sign posted. Every sign is the same on every establishment now. It says, if you have any symptoms of COVID-19, any symptoms whatsoever, get tested. Okay, sign. Any symptoms? Have you guys seen the symptoms list? There's nothing that's not on that list. Everything, SARS and swine flu and AIDS is all on that list, I think. Read it, get to the bottom if you can. Fuck it, diarrhea is on that list. Diarrhea is on the list. I have diarrhea every day, twice. At least, it's a ritual in my home. I'm not worried. What do you think, how does that even happen on the list? How does that get there? What are you telling me? Some asshole took one watery shit and was like, ooh, I should get tested. Okay, Mr. Perfect Poops. This dude's just like, yeah, I had to wipe. That's not like me. I would pay top dollar to watch that guy go get tested with his one symptom. He goes into the clinic. Hi, I think I might have contracted the COVID. Okay, sir, what are your symptoms? I have. What are you saying, sir?
I said...
I have diarrhea? You're gonna have to talk louder, sir. that loud enough for you, lady? Yeah, yeah, bet you're glad you wore your face shield today, huh? So you wanna swab my nose or wipe my ass? Cause this corona came with a burrito. My sister got COVID. She got COVID last year, and she got it in the most irresponsible of ways while somehow maintaining her oblivion as to how she got it. She was like, yeah, over the summer, I was in a boat with my friends, and we were all passing around a bottle of rum and splitting a joint and making out. I don't know how I got it. I was like, McCaitlin, you did everything except lick a bat's asshole. What do you think? What are you, patient zero? Why are you trying? This is something I think I'll tell you my COVID story, okay? I think you guys can handle it. I got COVID, not now, sorry, that's relevant. I got COVID last year. I got COVID from my girlfriend, who got it from a guy who sexually assaulted her. Yeah, that'll change the room. It was very irresponsible of her. I mean, we're in a pandemic, guys. Don't you fucking close up on me now. We have gone so far. You don't do it now. Thank you, three people laughing from the beginning, who were like, I hope there's comedy at this IHOP tonight. And then like 90,000 other people were like, oh, do we choose now to not commit to... Don't laugh extra hard now. You missed your time. This is what happened, all right? I want to share with you guys how this happened, okay? I was performing last November in Grand Junction, Colorado, and when I was on stage, there was a guy who was in the back of the showroom who was belligerently and drunkenly shouting out and interrupting the show. My fiance, then girlfriend, politely goes over to the table to ask the guy if he wouldn't mind being quiet. When she gets to the table, the guy grabs her ass, pulls her mask down, and kissed her. Now, this happened during the show in the back of the room, so I was unaware that it was happening. When the show ended, the audience cleared out. I got off stage to find my girlfriend in tears. She told me that after the exchange, she had to step outside, cry, try to collect herself, because she was very upset. And I was also very upset. She missed my show. I was so good that night. Now, we drove to that gig, we drove back, we wore masks the entire time, and he was the only person either of us had come in contact with. A week later, to the day, we both wake up and we've got COVID symptoms. Diarrhea. All over the bed, and the sheets, and the pillows. I think she had some symptoms as well. But it sucked. It really sucked. It was a situation that went from bad to worse in a week. It's like when a girl gets pregnant and then a week later she calls you and is like, I'm gonna keep it. You're like, no, this is not my week. But we never got to confront that guy. We never did. And we didn't get closure on the situation. And I really realized after it had happened that, you know, it was making me so angry. I was building resentment for this situation that was something that didn't even happen to me. And I wasn't even upset just because it had happened to my girlfriend, but it had happened to a person, to a woman who deserves to have her space respected, and it wasn't. And so, because that had happened, I realized that I started fantasizing about what it was that I could get to do to that guy, provided I ever had the opportunity. And I want to share with you. My fantasy. Let's just say it's that night. I get off stage. My girlfriend tells me what happens. I'm furious. I start walking over to the table. I've got my shirt off. I've got muscles now. Why are you laughing? I go over to the table. I say to the guy, "Hey, man. Are you the guy who sexually assaulted my girlfriend?" And you know the guy, he'd turn around and he'd say something douchey like, oh, are we about to get physical? Are we about to get physical? At which point, I'd lean in real close. I'd pull his mask down. And with his hand, I'd make him grab my balls. And I'd go, "How's this for a physical?" And then I'd do his prostate. Call that a stimulus check. And then he'd kick my ass, probably. But I'll be honest. After that happened, my girlfriend and I, we were off. Our dynamic was off. And I kept racking my brain for how I could try to make it right, how I could make her just feel better. And I finally said, "Babe, you were powerless in a situation where you felt violated and uncomfortable. What if, in order to get the power back, what if you violate me and do something that makes me uncomfortable?" So, a few weeks later, unbeknownst to me, my girlfriend attached herself to a strap-on. And in the middle of the night, while I was sleeping, she pegged me. We still have to find something that makes me uncomfortable. I'll share one last thing. It's been real. I'll share one last thing with you guys. So there's something that I have with me. I have it on my person at all times. And I don't want to brag, but it's depression. And yeah, okay, yeah, you too? Nice, yeah. Yeah, mine, it's with me right now, even as I'm doing this. Right now, it's happening. I'm doing my jokes and, you know, he's like, you're a piece of shit. And I don't know. I don't know why it is I feel compelled to start sharing this with people this year. Maybe it was the perspective you get from something like last year, but I always felt like it was my responsibility to make everybody else feel happy. But I now feel that maybe it could be worth sharing with people, because I have a feeling that there might be people in this room who are going through something similar. And you know, I don't even know when it's started to happen for me. I don't know what the inciting incident was. Maybe it was my injury. Maybe it wasn't so much the physical ramifications of something like that, but maybe the mental wear and tear of just feeling like, oh, will this one thing define me for the rest of my life? Will people only care about the way I'm saying something and not the things that I'm saying? And slowly, over the years of performing, that just started to grate on me over and over and over and over. And last year, it was the absolute worst that it had ever gotten. And so I just had thought about doing it. And then COVID happened, and a lot of other people were passing away. And I thought, well, I can't do it now. I'd probably get lumped in with these guys. People say killing yourself is selfish, and they are right. I want my own thing. Because you don't know what, you don't, with all the articles coming out last year, you don't know who died from what, but it was probably COVID. And I would hate that, you guys to be home and then just people get some notification on their phone. Did you hear? The Rona. It got Drew Lynch. I don't know who that is. And that's ultimately why I decided I couldn't do it. It's because you guys would fuck up the information. Yeah, the sheer negligence of it all. I wouldn't even be here to defend myself. To be like, no, I was sad. My immune system was good. And you know what? Then I heard about all these people who were just getting depressed for the first time last year. All this bandwagon sadness. Fuck you. I've been a member for years, bitch. You don't just get to jump in at the end. I was sad when Starbucks was open. But I ultimately decided that you can't kill yourself during a pandemic. You can't do it. It's like having a birthday on Christmas. No one gives a shit. You don't believe me? Ask a December baby. They are some of the saddest human beings I've ever seen. Ugh, look at Jesus. You don't think that dude was sad? That dude was depressed, man. He didn't even cut his wrists. He had holes in them. That's... All right, Oklahoma, don't you fucking... Don't you get high and proud now. No. You buckle up your belts and let's get through this. That's how it happened. This is the story of how Jesus died and depression was born. hundreds of years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, on December 25th, D.C., during Christ, dudes on camels traveled for miles to come give Jesus gifts for his birth. They were like, Jesus, happy birthday. Here's some gifts. And Jesus was like, yeah, like I'm like the Son of God. I don't need these mortal items. Also, I'm a baby. How about on my birthday, you guys get gifts for each other? And we'll call it Christmas. And the next year, that's exactly what they did. Everybody got gifts for everybody else. And that happened again the next year, and then the next year. And then one year, Jesus, he started to see what he had done. He was like, it's my birthday. And everybody's like, what'd you get us? And that happened for some odd 30 years until one day Jesus died and everybody was like, oh, fuck. I didn't get him anything. And they tried to justify it. They were like, but I heard like, it was like, for our sins, though, right? And 3 days later, Jesus actually came back and was like, no, no. I was sad. And everybody was like, Jesus Christ. Dude, we are so sorry. But Jesus, being Jesus, was just like, hey, you can suck my dick for a Snickers. You guys were so fun. Thank you guys. Thank you.